The Health Fix podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Kraus, and I've got Kathleen Trotter back on today. Last time when she was in, we were talking about getting fit, staying fit, and how Kathleen is helping folks find their fit. And today we're going to talk a little bit more on the psychology of getting fit, but also the psychology of just being healthy and how systems versus motivation work. Because motivation is so much more than just the concept. It's actually an emotion. And Kathleen's going to dive into that today with us. So Kathleen, welcome back to The Health Fix.
Oh, I'm super excited to be here. Let's do this. Motivation, it's one of my favorite topics.
Yeah, so we were talking a little bit before we hit record about motivation and all of the psychology behind motivation. And when I pitched this talking about it to you, you were like, I don't want to talk about motivation, but I want to talk about the background of it. So tell me, you know, how did you come to realize that motivation and all this talk about motivation really wasn't helping folks?
Well, because so many people are like, oh my goodness, I just have to get motivated and then I'll be fit. And here's the thing, because motivation is an emotion and emotions come and go, like that is, they're a brilliant quality, right? Like you can be sad and then you can be happy and then you can be excited and then you can be sad, right? But you're not always sad or always happy. They undulate, right? And the problem is that we often make our health decisions when we're highly motivated. So think like you're January 1st, you're like, I'm really motivated, I'm going to do this. But then come the third week of January, the second week, you're not motivated anymore. And the trick about health and fitness actually is doing it when you're not motivated. Think about it like a job. You don't wake up every morning and think like, oh, I'm so motivated to go to work. Sometimes you're pumped if you have a really important project or, you know, I have some clients that I'm like, yeah, I'm really excited. They're seeing progress. I want to train them. But, you know, sometimes I'm tired, but I still go to work. You know, if you have a child, you don't only feed them and bathe them and like change their diaper when you're motivated to do that stuff. You do it because it's the right thing to do. And that has to be what health and fitness becomes. Now it's a process to get it there, but I often say to myself, like, I'm allowed to skip my workouts on the days that I'm motivated, but I'm not allowed to skip when I'm not. And the trick to becoming healthier is to learn how to be like, yeah, I'm not that motivated right now, but that's okay. I still work out. And you can't, if you wait for the day that you're always motivated, you're never going to get fit. You're never, ever going to go there because you're not always going to be motivated. It's just never going to happen. So you're kind of setting yourself up for failure. So I like to help my clients create systems for success. So systems help you basically stay on your path even when you're not motivated. So, you know, you're sitting on the sofa and you're like, oh, I just want to stay watching Netflix. But if you have a system of somebody's actually waiting for you to be accountable for them, like you have a friend, you say to your friend, you know, I'm going to, you know, email you when I'm done my workout. Well, you're less likely to sit and watch Netflix if you have that person who's accountable for you. Or if you, you know, have a fitness buddy that you go for like walks with, or you have a fitness challenge with your family of who can get the most steps every day. Or even if it's just that your accountability buddy is your Fitbit and it's saying like, oh, you've only gotten 6,000 steps and you're supposed to get 10 today, whatever that is. The trick is to learn how to, you know, do stuff even when you're not motivated to be healthy, even when you don't want to be.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a really good point because I hear a lot of people saying, well, I just got to get the motivation. Once I get the motivation,
no, it's like, no.
Yeah, I hear it, you know, and so I always am like, okay. But this is good because having the systems and challenging yourself too, I think is really important because a lot of us will psychology-wise be like, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow.
Well, you can self-sabotage so easily. Like it's so easy to talk yourself out of what you know is the right thing long-term because short-term you don't want to because your desires or your momentary emotions make you want to do something else. And the trick with health is you have to be able to have these systems set in place, have the self-talk needed, create environments that support you, create habits that support you so that the lack of motivation doesn't derail you or your exhaustion doesn't derail you or frustration or anger, right? It's so easy to be like, oh my God, you know, my boss is such an asshole. I'm angry. So then you're angry. So then you're just like binge eat, right? But you have to be able to say like, okay, halt in this moment. Let's halt. Am I, you know, am I really hungry? Do I need this food? Or am I like angry? Or am I lonely? Or am I tired? Or am I sad? Like, what's the emotion? And then let's just pause. And that's where the systems can come in. So for example, if you like to binge eat chocolate, like I do, I just don't have chocolate in the house because that's part of my system. Because I know that I'm an emotional person. I am going to get sad. I'm going to get lonely. I'm going to get all those things. And I'm going to want to binge on whatever I'm going to want to binge on. And guess what? If it's not there, I'm too lazy to go to the store and buy myself some chocolate. But if it's in my cupboard, I will eat it. And then I will feel so frustrated with myself. So with my clients, I talk about it as making goals versus wishes. So I think what happens with a lot of us is our health is we make these grand proclamations. They're like wishes, like I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to work out. I'm going to lose weight. But we don't take the time to really figure out like, what does that mean? And that's where the goal system comes in of breaking down. What are the systems that I can set up to set myself up for success? And what are the WWWH of my health goals? So when am I going to do it? What am I going to do? Where am I going to do it? How am I going to, like, what accommodations do I have to make this happen? Do I need babysitting? Do I need to block off schedules at work? Do I need to sign up for class, like some type of online class? Do I need an accountability buddy? You know, will I do half an hour a day? Will I do 45 minutes a day? Like, you got to break down those really things, the small details to make it happen, right? Otherwise, it's just a wish. Otherwise, it's just hope. And hope is not about, like, it's not a strategy. It's not one that works. I mean, you need a little bit of hope for sure to get you going. And if you can figure out the moments where you are motivated, they're actually a great time to use those moments to set up your future plan, right? So if you wake up one morning and you're like, oh, I feel amazing. I'm going to lose 10 pounds. Great. First of all, go for a walk, do something active because you're motivated. So, you know, seize the moment and then sit down at your desk and figure out, like, how am I going to make this happen? Write down, when is it going to happen? What am I going to do? You know, where am I going to do it? The WWH of those goals and what systems can really help me make this a success. So, and that you have to know yourself, right? Like, you have to know, for me, I have to know that I'll binge on chocolate if it's in my house. So then I get the chocolate out of my house. So part of it is like being super honest with yourself about what motivates you long-term, like versus those short bursts of motivation, like what will continue to make you feel connected and emotionally driven, right? So, you know, let's say you want to be active with your grandkids. Okay, so that could be a reason why you need to do mobility training because you need to get down and off the ground. Or you have a sport you really love to play. You know, that's the reason to do strength training, so you're strong enough to play that sport. Like, think about those things as well, because then when you're feeling like, oh, I don't want to do this, I want to sleep in, or I want to watch Netflix, or I want to do whatever, then you can think like, no, like this has a grander meaning for me. And you can talk yourself into it.
Oh my gosh. No, that makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. And I think probably where a lot of people fall off this is getting the system strategy kind of component set up.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's what's called future bias. No. Yeah. Is that, oh God, my brain is like not working, but there's a cognitive distortion that we have. I'm pretty sure. No, it's called present bias. That's it. Sorry. I had a momentary brain fart. So basically a lot of this is understanding how the brain works. And so you have to appreciate that the brain thinks that how you feel in this moment is how you're always going to feel. So you wake up and you're like, it's January 1st. I'm feeling super motivated. Unconsciously, like, it's not a conscious thing. You just think, well, I'm really motivated now. I'm always going to be motivated. Right. But then you have to say to yourself, no, that's present bias. That's a false cognitive distortion. I won't always feel motivated. So therefore you have to say, okay, what are the systems that I can set up so that when I'm not motivated, I save myself from myself. So, you know, for me, I find it hard sometimes to get up early in the morning to do my workouts. So I've actually set the system up where I set my alarm really far across my room and I have it's set to a song, a Britney Spears song I really like. So in order to turn the alarm off, I have to get out of my bed. I have to turn it off. I have to walk across the room. And then by the time I hear the song, I'm kind of like moving my hips and I feel good. And that gets me out of bed, but that's my system. But that's because I know, like, I've gone through enough mornings where I don't want to get out of bed, where I know that I need that system. The other thing that is with this present bias is you also have to realize that when you're feeling not motivated, when you're feeling tired, when you're feeling angry, that also won't last, right? And it's easy to think, well, oh, I'm exhausted in this moment, so I shouldn't work out, like I'm too tired. It's like, no, those are the moments you need to work out, because if you work out, you're going to feel so much better, right? But this is where it comes into also health being really a brain management thing. You have to know how the brain is going to work. And one of the ways that the brain fools us is with this emotional regulation. And it, you know, you think like, oh, you know, I'm sad or I'm depressed, so why do anything? It's like, well, no, the reason to do something is because your future self will thank you, and you will feel better, and you'll feel less depressed if you move. But once you know that the brain works that way, then you can sort of start to think in different ways, and you can set those goals versus just stating really big grand wishes. And again, like the wish is a great place to start. Being motivated is a great place to start, but you have to harness that motivation. And you have to know that goals have a little bit of a survivorship bias, meaning I think a lot of people talk to really successful people, and the successful people will be like, oh yeah, I had a goal of running a marathon, or I had a goal of saving X amount of money. So you think like, oh, well, the goal is the reason why that person succeeded. But like, lots of people set goals and don't follow through on their goals. So the trick is to understand that the goal, again, is the first step, but the goal is what teaches you how to act appropriately in every single moment. So it's not enough to just state the goal. It's actually, you have to work backwards. Like, what does this mean? What do you have to do today in order to make the goal a reality? So if you want to lose 20 pounds, okay, how many pounds does that mean you have to lose, you know, every week? What does that mean you have to change about your diet? What does that mean you have to change about your exercise, right? So you work backwards from that goal and pick those appropriate steps. And then you set up the systems that are going to help your future self succeed.
So I'm thinking about this and I'm going, okay, this sounds kind of overwhelming. What do people say to you? What do people say to you in your practice? You know, your clients, what do they say to you when you're like, okay, we got to set up this plan, and we got to kind of get it so that we execute it. Do people's heads start to spin a little bit at first?
Okay. First of all, I love your question, because I have a lot of wonderful qualities, but I get really excited about this. And then I talk and I talk and I talk and I don't really shut up, and it does feel very overwhelming. and it's because I've been doing this for 20 years, right? So it's very much part of my blood that I think I can sort of almost put the cart before the horse a little bit. Like, you do have to just step back and realize that this is such a process, and you're not going to get it right in one day, and you're not going to set one goal and then be like, oh, now I'm perfect. I've been doing this for literally 20 years. Like, my first half of my life, I was unfit. I didn't like to exercise. And this was such an iterative process, right? Like, it's not like I didn't wake up one morning healthy and motivated. You know, I woke up first, I went to the gym for, you know, I walked for 10 minutes, and then the walking turned into 20 minutes, and then some weights. And then, so I guess what I would say to everybody listening is, you take your best shot, and then whatever happens, that's just data for next time. So let me give you an example. I have a client right now who's trying to get 10,000 steps a day. Mm-hmm. And he's had 3 weeks of doing really well with the 10,000 steps. So he's, you know, walking his dog, and he's really like front loading the activity normally, like getting it earlier in the day, so it's less likely to be something that has to be done later. And he's, you know, he set the Fitbit, so like every hour it tells him that he has to walk for about 250 steps if he hasn't already, like he has to move. So he's doing great. But he had a social event last night, and he said to me, like, it's okay, you know, I'm just going to leave the social event early, and I'll get my steps at the end of the night, like if I haven't gotten them all. And then we talked, we did a check-in call today, and he was like, you know what, Kathleen, I got to the party and I didn't want to leave. Like, I was having a really good time. We're still in COVID right now, so like, you know, he hasn't seen a lot of people lately. This was like a socially distanced outside kind of thing. He was enjoying himself. So he, for the first time in 3 weeks, he didn't get his 10,000 steps. And so he said two things to me. He said, what I've learned is that when I have social events at night, I have to front load. I have to get all of my steps before I go, because it's very unlikely that I will leave. And he said, now today I'm going to get 12,000 steps, so it still averages out to 10,000. So the two lessons from that story, well, three lessons actually. So the first one is that everything is just data. It's growth, right? You don't have to be great to start, but you do have to start to get great. So you just sort of start and you learn as you go. So that's the first thing. And then you incorporate that key learnings into the next day. So the next time he has a social event, he just has to get his 10,000 steps before he goes. That's first. The second thing is you just have to have a little bit of compassion with yourself, right? It's not useful to sort of be like, oh my God, I didn't get my 10,000 steps. I'm a loser. Like I'm going to be, you know, unfit forever, right? Like you kind of have to just have a little bit of compassion and sort of know that you're doing the best you can. And shaming yourself just goes a terrible spiral, a downhill spiral, where you then just make other terrible decisions. So you have to separate out the behavior from you as a person. Like you can say, like, I don't love that I made that behavior, but I'm still a good person and I'm just going to like learn. That's the second thing. And then the third thing is when you miss something, you always replace it. So it would have been really easy for him to say like, oh, well, who cares? Yesterday didn't matter. I only got 8,000 steps, but like, I'll just do better today. But he didn't. What he said was, I only got 8,000 yesterday. What is missed has to be replaced. And now he'll get 12,000, right? So those are the things, I think those are the really key learnings. It is such a process. And you're not going to go from being, you know, unhealthy to being healthy. And it's not a win-lose. Like you're not either healthy or unhealthy. Like we're always on sort of a continuum and we're always learning and we're always growing. So I guess I would say to your listeners, like, just have compassion with yourself, give yourself a little bit of grace, but just make sure that you're just continuing to work and continuing to grow, and know that you'll just sort of, as long as you're trending in the right direction, that's all that matters.
I think that's a great way to say it. Trending in the right direction is what matters, because I think a lot of people get stuck on, oh, I screwed up. You know, this is the most common one, which I think happens a lot with ladies in particular. I ate my chocolate crap the rest of the day. I'm just eating whatever because I screwed up.
Oh, yes. That is terrible. Okay. Can I give you my mustard analogy? I absolutely love this. Okay.
Do it.
People do that all the time. And it's this terrible spiral where you make one unhealthy decision and then you're like, well, screw it. I might as well make, you know, I might as well just continue down this path. So here's the thing. Imagine like you spilled a little bit of mustard on your shirt, right? That's the cookie that you ate, or the, you know, the little bit of an indulgence that you had. Okay. So fine. You go to the bathroom, you wipe the mustard off. You're fine. That's like going for a walk because you ate the cookie, right? But it's the equivalent of taking the entire bottle and being like, well, because I put a little bit of mustard on my shirt, I might as well pour this entire bottle on me, right? That's what people do with their health. They're like, oh, I had one cookie. Oh, well, I had one. I might as well have 10. One cookie is not the same as 10. One missed workout is not the same as a month of missed workouts. We have to be able to find the middle ground and the appropriate responses to our health. Like if you had one cookie, great, enjoy it. Move on. It doesn't make it better to have more. And we have to find a way to disconnect. Like with the step example I just gave you, it's the difference between shame and guilt. Like you can say, I'm not proud of the fact that I had that cookie. Or you can say, you know what? The cookie was amazing. I'm super glad I had it. But that's the behavior. Mm-hmm. It's not you as a person. Like just because you had a cookie, you don't go into a shame spiral. Don't say, well, like, you know, I'm never going to be healthy. I'm lazy. I have no willpower. I have no self-control. I might as well have 45 more cookies. Like it's just not helpful. And it's not true. We're only human. Like we all make mistakes. And sometimes eating a cookie is not a mistake. Like you can decide that you want to indulge in something really wonderful and, you know, just calm down about it. And so I think that goes into what I call my love it rule. So what I say to my clients is like, have something, but make sure you enjoy it and make sure it's something that's worth it. It's a value judgment, right? Like I don't like Dorito chips. I would never indulge in Dorito chips, but I do love chocolate. So if I want to have a little bit of wonderful, good quality chocolate, like go for it, but I don't have like 17 pounds of it.
Right.
So, you know, have a moderate amount of something that you love and plan for it. Like, I think a lot of times we get derailed because we plan for path A, like we plan for no junk food today, and then we have junk food. Whereas if you say to yourself, like, you know what, Friday's date night with my husband, I'm going to have a beautiful dessert on date night, and then it's planned, then that's, I think that we're often much more okay with that. I think the problem is that when we set an intention and we don't follow through, we feel like we're giving up on ourselves. Like we're not holding ourselves accountable, and that makes us feel sort of like we've lied to ourselves, that we can't trust what we say to ourselves. So that's a big thing for me, is like, I really try that if I'm going to indulge or if I'm going to skip a workout, it's much more like planned. Like I've decided it's a special night, like it's my birthday or it's Christmas or it's whatever. And it's so then I still feel like I'm living in my integrity.
Right.
But again, that takes practice, right? Like this is not, I've had years of buying my favorite fudge bars and then like eating all of them, right? Like being in the grocery store and being like, I want the bar, like the devil on my shoulders, like just buy the bars. You can totally not eat them. And then the angel being like, no, Kathleen, you shouldn't buy the bars, you know? And it was years of me buying the bars and then indulging in them for me to finally realize that like, I can't have them in my house. I can have them at like my mom's house and have one bar when I go see her. But, you know, but it takes growth, it takes learning, and it takes that compassion with ourselves.
I agree. Compassion is huge. Compassion is really huge. We beat up on ourselves way too much. But we also, like you said, I think we underestimate how much emotion plays into the choices that we make around our health and fitness. And in particular, you know, the thing of not buying certain snacks and bringing them into the home, I hear it all the time from folks. Well, I have to buy kid food for my kids, or my husband likes this snack, so I have to have it in the house. And it's like, oh my gosh, well, shoot, if I had, like you said, chocolate's my thing. If I had chocolate in my house, it's gone. Like,
No, if you buy unhealthy food, like whatever you bring into your house, somebody you love will eventually eat it. So you have to sort of decide if that is worth it, right? And like, you know, I would argue, I mean, I don't have kids, so I try very hard to not sort of be on a soapbox because I totally appreciate how hard being a parent is. But, you know, as much as possible, I try to encourage my clients to find ways to have healthier, less processed versions of snacks that are really yummy. You know, like, so put juice in the freezer and popsicle molds that have like juice pops. Like there's definitely ways to make healthier options. And then that way, both you and the people that you love in your home have, you know, less processed versions, or like Greek yogurt and frozen berries, for example, instead of ice cream, or even just putting a banana in the freezer, super fast, super simple. If you mash up that banana with a little bit of like vanilla, it's like super yummy. There's ways that you can, you know, but I do think your point about emotions being important is maybe the main takeaway of this whole discussion, because I think we think that the more information we have, the better choices we'll make. And unfortunately, we're not that rational as human beings, right? Like, you know, there's this quote, this Derek Sivers quote, and he says, if information was enough, we'd all have six packs and be billionaires. Like, I'm paraphrasing a bit, but the idea being that like, you can know that you need to exercise more. You can know that you need to drink water. You can know, like my thing is, I know I need to take more vacation. But do I do it? Like doing is very hard, and because it's connected to deep-seated, like for me with, you know, vacation, it's like connected to deep-seated, like, you know, money issues from growing up, and also like, you know, I want professionalism, I want to be there for my clients, and like there's all this sense of worthiness wrapped up in taking vacation and like proving to myself that I'm like a dedicated worker. So it's just everything's more complicated, and understanding that it's not just about having the information. I mean, the information is a great first step. You need to know, but like most of us know that, you know, we should walk more and eat less processed foods and sleep more. And so like, for the most part, I don't actually think the information is the issue. I think the doing is the issue, right? And that's where it comes down to, that health is really, it's like a skill that needs to be cultivated, and we're not normally, and it's a basically emotional regulation and understanding how the brain works, like really understanding that there's a difference between the brain and the mind, right? The brain is this, you're unconscious, it's passive, it's very fast acting, it's the automatic things, you know, it's the habits, it's your thoughts, it's even your like movement patterns. And and that's good. Like we need those fast acting things because we couldn't live if we had to digest every single new stimuli that came at us, right? Like part of life is so many things are coming at us that the brain is able to sort of filter out things that we already know and ways that we move. And like, it's like, you know, driving becomes so automatic once you've done it, right? Whereas the mind is more of this conscious control. And that's where, you know, it's that strobe light of attention. And that's where you have to be able to, if you want to get healthier, it's that awareness piece of, you have to know, like, what are the things that you're thinking unconsciously? What are the things that you're doing? What are the habits that you're doing? And what are the emotional patterns that you get into? Like when you're sad, do you reach for food versus like just phoning a friend? And it's about not letting the momentary desires and emotions derail your progress, right? Like have the desire for sure. If you're sad or have the emotion, right? Like if you're sad, be sad. I'm not telling you to pretend you're not sad, but I'm saying you can be sad and decide to have a bath or phone a friend versus eat 17 pounds of chocolate. but right, but you have to have that awareness of your mind to be like, oh, interesting. I'm sad right now.
Right.
And I think most people don't have that.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people don't have that ability to distinguish, or they're on autopilot, because I'll be honest, I've come home from days of work that really sucked and I was hungry. So this is something that probably we should talk about too, is, you know, planning, making sure that your blood sugar is balanced and planning
Yes. Time
before things. But yeah, it was a busy day at work. I didn't get my lunch till late and I didn't get my snack in the afternoon. And I came home, I was hungry and I was just so frustrated. And I literally, like Mama Bear, tore up my kitchen.
I've done that so many times. We've all done that. Yeah. So human.
God. And you're like, I swear I did not eat all those. Like you come out of that.
Where did they all go? Yeah. You go into fog. Yeah, totally.
Okay. Yeah. Aliens came down. I'm sure of it.
Totally.
But you know, it's that kind of thing that I think some people might struggle with, trying to find that, like, oh my gosh, I'm having an emotional, like they're so disconnected with their emotion and their action that they autopilot a lot of things. How do you help folks get out of that?
So I would say a couple things. First of all, again, I'd go back to just understanding that it's a process, that you learn small things every day, and knowing that everything is data that you learn from. So it's data to help you create systems that will save you from your future self, because really systems are what help you not be derailed by those emotions of the moment. So, you know, if you have one of those fugue states eating, which we've all done that. So when you get out of it, as opposed to berating yourself and shaming yourself and then just eating more, or like not working out the next day because you feel such a shame spiral, the trick is to step back and sort of analyze what happened and figure out what are some systems that you could put into place that make it better. So for example, a lot of times, that happens when you just haven't had a snack in the afternoon. So maybe you have to just make sure that you pack every Sunday, you do food prep and you pack healthy snacks, that's like your 3 o'clock snack. So to some nuts, half an apple, something like that. And you have it, if you're back at work, then you have it at work, you have it at the house. It's like easy. Or maybe you see that you really didn't have enough of a satiating lunch. Like maybe you didn't have enough protein and healthy fat at lunch. So maybe the trick is you just have to make sure that you always have that. Or maybe it's that you didn't get enough sleep the night before. And then often when we don't get enough sleep and our hormones aren't regulated, then we crave sugar. So then that maybe that is what sort of inspired you to have a sugar craving and not enough protein at lunch. Or maybe it inspired you to have too much coffee because you were tired and then you had so much coffee and then the coffee makes you sort of jittery. And then you get home and then you've drank too much coffee, but you're still hungry. So it's all just data, but the data you then use to create the systems that are going to set you up for success. So food prep is huge, right? Like if you spend a couple hours every Sunday and just, you know, cut up a bunch of veggies, wash a bunch of greens, maybe make some chicken breasts or some fish or whatever, hard boiled eggs, you leave them in the fridge. And then when you come home and you are starving, then you can really easily put together a very healthy, like maybe you have some quinoa made, so you make a quinoa bowl with some veggies, and it's just as fast to make that than it is to eat bad food, right? We go back to whatever's in your house, you're going to eat.
Right.
But again, it's that learning process. If you act and then you analyze the action, and then you implement that key learnings, and you give yourself the grace to know that it's not going to get perfect overnight. Like I have been learning these systems for 20 years and I still mess up and I still make choices that I'm not proud of, but then I'm like, okay, like how do I learn from that? So another great system is just the size of the bowl or the plate you use. Like this is huge. There's been so many studies that just show that if you eat from a big plate, you just continue eating even if you're full. But if you put everything in sort of smaller plates, smaller bowls, then you're just automatically going to eat less food. So even if you come home and you're in that crazy state, if you just make sure that you only eat from those smaller bowls, then yeah, you would eat the entire bowl. But hopefully before you filled the bowl up a second time, you would have gotten to a point where you're a little bit less hungry. And then you can step back and be like, oh, okay, interesting. Like I'm full now. Or you could set up some non-negotiables. This can be really helpful for clients too, of just like, you're not allowed to stand and eat. So no matter what fugue state you're in, if you're hungry, you you come home and you put food into that small bowl and you sit at the dining room table. Because that's the thing, is like, if you're standing and eating, it's so easy to eat a lot and then you're not, you don't even realize that you're full. Parents do that a lot with their kids. Like, I have clients when they're making dinners, be very specific about, like, either they put a piece of gum in their mouth or they put mouthwash in their mouth, and then, like, obviously they spit it out, but they have that, like, fresh feeling, so then they're reminded not to eat. Because a lot of parents will have an entire meal, they'll eat an entire meal while they're prepping food for their kids, and then they eat a second meal when they're at the table. So, like, that's, but it's all just learning. Like, you just have to know yourself, like, where are the things that you fall off, like, where are the times that you let your emotions take over, and then how can you learn from that?
Oh, makes sense. Yeah, the kitchen sink dinners, I call it. Those are
my
problem.
Yeah, and it's just this, I think ultimately it's just sort of stepping back and giving yourself, like, think of your life almost like a movie. And instead of being the actor in the movie, like, instead of being Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie, step back and be the director or the producer, right? So when you're in the moment and you're like, oh my God, I want all this food, we have to train ourselves. But it's like a muscle to train, where you step back and you sort of be like, okay, if I'm the director of this movie, or if I'm the writer, and I want this actor to lose 20 pounds in a year, what does this actor have to do at this moment to lose that 20 pounds? And then you step back and you're like, right, okay, a binge eating right now, that's not going to help this actor lose that weight, right? Or, like, you step back, the other image is often like you're stepping into a balcony and looking at the dance floor, right? So, like, your life is the dance floor, and you need to train that muscle of, like, stepping back and looking at everything, just taking a pause when you're in those emotional states. Often taking a pause can be just really helpful. To step back and just sort of be like, what's the action that's going to make my future self proud? What's my emotion, first of all? Like, what am I feeling? And know that, you know, feelings are not, just because you have a craving doesn't mean you have to give in on it, right? Like, thoughts are not facts. You can think something. You can think, oh, I really want that cookie. But then you can say to yourself, no, I'm going to take a pause. I'm going to go for a walk. And then I'm going to make my decision when I get back from the walk. And normally, when you've had that separation from your emotion, you know, for 5, 10, 15 minutes, you don't want it anymore.
True. It's true. You almost forget. Like, you're like, oh.
Yeah. Because we go back to what we talked about at the beginning of a motivation being an emotion, right? Every emotion comes and goes. So does sadness is the emotion, right? Frustration, all of those things, all of those desires, they're all based in emotions. Even if you are like, what your desire is to get some type of dopamine hit from, like, the food that you're wanting, or the cigarette that you're wanting, or the whatever act, like, that in itself, that craving for that, like, hit often makes you do things in the moment that are long-term. You know, you want that cigarette in the moment, but long-term it's really unhealthy for you. It's sort of the problem is a lot of the things that are hard to do in the moment are good for you long-term, and the things that are easy to do in the moment are bad for you long-term, right? So it's about stepping back and being like, okay, again, like, I'm the producer of this movie. What do I want my actor to do to get them to the goal that they've set? How do I act in this moment? What is the goal dictating that I do in this moment, right? We go back to the goal tells you how to act appropriately in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that makes perfect sense. I mean, it's ultimately, like you had mentioned before, brain emotional management. We are trying to grab the brain and figure out, okay, what is happening right now? How am I going to figure this out?
Versus
always thinking about, you know, the health side of things and the you know, fitness side of things. It's perfect, you know, to really bring it out of that. I think a lot of us need to kind of bring back in the emotion and get connected with their emotions a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, I loved you just sort of, you did that, like, whew, that breath. And I think that's huge too, right? When you're caught in a sort of like emotional haze, then you just have to sort of, like, even just taking a deep breath will help, right? Just any type of pause is just so, so huge. Mm-hmm. And I think, but even just like knowing how the brain works, like, I'll give you another example. You know, we can often get into emotional state when we look at, like, social media, we start comparing ourselves to others, right? It's like, oh, that person's perfect. That person has the best life. That person has six pack abs. I'll never be fit. So first of all, most things on social media are either a lie or they're at least a very small piece of that person's life, right? Like, my social media, I'm very honest. I'm on it, but, you know, you only see a small portion of me. Like, it's my fitness side of me. It's not the rest of me who loves theater and who loves, like, there's so much more of me. I'm not lying on social media. But it's a very small part of me, right? And I think it's easy to compare other people's sort of makeup did face to your own warts and insecurities, right? But again, if you understand how the brain works, that the brain is always going to compare. So the fact is, it's not useful to say like, well, just don't compare. But what it is useful to say is have relative to comparisons that are helpful, meaning compare yourself to yourself yesterday, compare yourself to yourself a month ago. And where are you trending? Compare yourself to where you want to be. Or pick a couple of people that you really respect and learn from them. So if you have a fitness professional who you think is really smart, you know, or you have like a friend, you know, sort of use them as healthy comparisons, but mostly use yourself. Like, where were you a year ago? What were the thoughts that were driving you? Are you trending positive? Where do you want to go? How do you get to where you want to go? So if you know that you're going to compare, because the brain is like, we are meaning making machines. We're always trying to figure out the world. But the trick is what meaning do you give to the things that you're trying to figure out? So you have to use the brain and its sort of normal, natural, inherent operating systems for good, not evil, right? So sort of say like, okay, I'm going to compare, but I'm going to compare in a really productive way. I'm going to thrive in my lane. And I'm going to compare, you know, like if you didn't want to go to the gym and you went to the gym, then you say to yourself, oh my God, I didn't want to go to the gym. I'm here. I'm comparing myself to myself a half an hour ago that was like in the car, not wanting to get out of the car, but I'm here. How awesome am I? And that's a really productive comparison. Cause then you're like, oh great. I did really, really well. I want to continue doing really well.
Yeah. No, that's
hard though. Eh? It's hard.
It's tough. It's really tough. I mean, I think, you know, just looking at social media, I mean, even myself, I've looked at things and been like, oh man, you know, look at that person, you know, and also it's probably something that I don't know. I think a lot of people maybe in the health and fitness and nutrition world maybe think about in terms of themselves going like, oh, I could do better. I could do better, you know, and it's hard because we're all unique, right? We have our own unique attributes and everyone is unique in their own ways. And we are all on a different journey.
Yes.
I think that's
absolutely
to keep in mind that, you know, my goal in life is different than someone else's goal in life. And knowing and having your plan in place or your strategy in place is key to making not, you know, making decisions properly, maybe is a bit, I don't know about properly. That's a terrible word.
But it's properly based on like your life trajectory and knowing you. And it's your, Buddhists would call it right effort. It's like right thought, right effort. It's like based on your, not your ego, but your internal structures that are sort of honest to yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like you said, we're about striving. And I think that the key is it's healthy striving, right? It's like, I think that it's important to understand that you can be in a state of becoming the future you that you want to be and also being the you that you are now. They're not incompatible. They're not mutually exclusive. You're not either striving to be somebody else or loving who you are now. Like you can love and respect who you are now and you can appreciate the moment that you're in. And you know, like I have a little puppy dog, Olive, and like my partner, his name is James, and like sitting on a porch with them, like that's so like glorious. But I can appreciate that moment and the dog jumping up and giving me kisses and also know that I'm super excited about the course I'm gonna take next week. But I think that is ultimately such a hard thing to do of like living in both places, like living in ways in the moment that are gonna feed the future you that you wanna be, but also appreciating that this moment, you'll never get this moment again. So don't give up this moment to strive for something later, because you're just gonna get to a year later. And if you're not able to appreciate the moment, you're not gonna appreciate the year from now either, right? You have to appreciate now and appreciate yourself and respect yourself while also knowing that part of respecting yourself is progress and learning and growth. And like, that's a wonderful part of being alive, but it's a healthy striving, right? It's like, it's not at the expense of the current you. It's not at the expense of appreciating who you are and loving who you are. And I really, I suggest that everybody listens to, there's an episode of Tim Ferriss and Brené Brown. I think it's called like Striving versus Acceptance or something like that. It was maybe January 2020 it came out. I've listened to it 3 times. It's the most amazing conversation of two people that are so smart. Brené Brown is amazing on like guilt and shame and acceptance, and Tim Ferriss is so smart. And they talk for an hour about this very issue of how do you find the balance of striving for what you want to achieve while also appreciating that you never get this moment back.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna note that. I will look for it.
You will love it. Like, from the little I know of you, like, I love our chats because you just seem to, like, you're like me. You want to find a way to live but also grow. And I think that, yeah, I think you'd really, really like it. And it sounds like your listeners are on the same page, so I hope that they enjoy it. And if you do listen to it, and also everybody listening, you know, send me a note on Instagram and just tell me what you thought, because that definitely, it made my it was a paradigm shift for me, that episode.
Oh man. Yeah. I can see that though. I can definitely see that, because it is a struggle to try to be present in the moment, appreciate what's going on right now, and still look forward to the future. I feel like my husband and I, this last weekend, we worked, even though we had the 4th of July weekend here, we worked the whole weekend trying to get our projects done, and then it came to Sunday and we're like, hey, how are you doing? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Have we even spoken to each other? Yeah. It's hard. And it's hard not to compare, like, in the social media world, it's, again, like, to go back to, it's almost about, like, you have to curate your inputs in life, I think, a little bit too, because it's very easy to go down the rabbit hole of, you know, I'm not worthy, I'm not doing good enough, like, everybody else is sort of has it all figured out. And the truth is that nobody has it figured out, right? Like, some people have maybe a little bit more figured out, and, you know, I've been in therapy for 20 years, so I have it more figured out than I did 20 years ago, but I hope that in 10 more years, I have it more figured out than I do now, right? Like, it's not that you get to a point where you're like, yeah, I'm done, like, I've totally grown, like, you know, I'm as smart as I'm going to be, I'm as processed as I'm going to be. Like, it doesn't work that way. And I have to remind myself of that, like, even with social media too. Like, I'll look at people who I really respect, you know, like a Tim Ferriss or Mel Robbins or whatever, and I look at their posts and I'm like, oh my God, they have such great, like, aesthetics, and they're so smart and blah, blah, blah. And then I make myself look at a post from the same day, my post, and I think, you know what, if somebody didn't know me, they wouldn't know that, like, half an hour after I posted this post, I was like, well, we had Canada Day, you had 4th of July, so this is a great example. I posted all these beautiful photos of me up with my dog and my mom's 2 dogs up at my mom's farm, and we were having such a lovely day. So I posted them. And then about an hour later, I just spent way too much time in the sun, and I can't go into my mom's house right now because of COVID. And so, you know, we have to be outside and 6 feet apart, and it's really hot. And I got so sick. I was like, I had a headache, I was nauseous, and we had to leave early. And like, nobody knew that, because that was, you know, an hour after I'd posted. And also, I'm not going to post me sitting by the toilet, almost like vomiting, on social media, right? So I have to think, when I start to compare myself to other people, I have no idea what's going on in their life. I have no idea if their kid threw a tender tantrum half an hour before that post, or, you know, they were feeling unworthy, or maybe they posted that post because they were feeling unworthy and the post made them feel better. Like, you don't know.
Right. Right. You're only seeing what you see. And
exactly. And it's such a small piece. Yeah. Or another great example, I don't know if you know Rachel Hollis, but I listened to her podcast, and I love her books as well. And, you know, she, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, sort of, I'm going to say June 2020, told her public that her and her husband are getting a divorce. And that was such a really good lesson of, you know, she's been going through the hardest, whatever, 3-4 months of her life, and with COVID and all that stuff. And none of us knew that, right? Because she posts things that are very authentic. Like, I think that she's a very authentic person. I have a huge amount of respect for her. But, you know, she didn't post, well, just had a fight with my husband. You know, she posted, like, just spent some beautiful time in the sun with my kids. Like, she posted the things that she wanted us to see. And, you know, she said to all of us, like, you know, I'm not going to be talking about the divorce for a couple of months. I need to process it. Like, so please respect me. And, you know, of course, everybody is, or at least I hope everybody is. But my point is more just about, like, I didn't know that about her. That doesn't make me respect her less or more, but it is a really good reminder of, like, that's like a massive thing going on in somebody's life. So it's very unhelpful to compare yourself to somebody on social media, or even just a friend. You don't know what people are going through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I think that's really important for all of us to keep in mind that we are all people. We are all people. and we all have our own struggles and we all have our own battles. And I would be lying if I said that I wasn't in the natural medicine field and the health and fitness field, you know, if it wasn't for my own struggles, with eating and everything else. Yeah. So yeah.
Isn't that super true? That's such a good point. Thank you for bringing that up. Because I think that's I am in this field as well, because I was such an unhappy and unhealthy kid. And I went through so many, I had an eating disorder when I was in my early 20s. And I have so many inner demons that so much of being in this world is my way of processing them. I think that's a great thing for your listeners to hear, is that, it's easy to look at people who work out and think, oh, they have it all figured out. But, they're probably processing something of their own.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Always in process of something.
Always in process. Yeah. Very, very, very true.
Oh, Kathleen, thank you so much for coming on again. And
oh, it's my pleasure. Honestly, anytime. You're great to chat with.
Good, good. I love chatting with you too. And I think folks can really gain some insight from just the realness of chatting about health, fitness, struggles, and comparison and everything. So we will keep that going, and we'll find some more topics as time goes on to
yeah, keep- that would be amazing. Yeah. I would love for us to do some type of Instagram live Q&A or something too. I feel like that'd be really fun, because I think that we both have a very similar philosophy, but mm-hmm. we know a lot of topics that I don't know about, with being a doctor and of naturopathic medicine. And so I think that'd be really interesting to get both perspectives.
Let's do it. We will definitely talk about that. So folks, stay tuned for that. That will be coming. We will let you know all about that. In the meantime, you guys can find Kathleen over at KathleenTrotter.com. She also has two fabulous books, Your Fittest Future Self, which is covering workouts, nutrition, and mindset for those who have a great foundation of fitness but need some help. And then she also has Finding Your Fit. It's best for those who have never worked out or who have dabbled a bit in fitness and want to know more. You can find both of those online. And gosh, Kathleen's website is a wealth of information too. So I highly recommend you guys head over there. Oh, and then Instagram. I always mess up your Instagram. Tell us what your Instagram is.
Fit by Kathleen T. I always mess it up as well. There you go. But I would honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I love hearing from people. So if people have, questions, comments, concerns, or, just want to chat or tell me anything about their health process, reach out on Facebook as well, Fit by Kathleen T or Instagram. And I will connect.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Kathleen. I appreciate
it. My pleasure.
Hey, Health Junkies, Dr. Janine Krause here. I hope you enjoyed my podcast. Guess what? I have a Facebook group. It's called Anti-Aging Health Tips with Dr. Janine Krause. So if you want a little bit more of the Health Fix podcast, head over to my Facebook group and let's chat. Now, I'm also offering a health transformation and restoration program. It's a one-on-one with me, and it's for folks who are sick and tired of going to doc after doc and health coach after health coach and not seeing the results that they want and deserve. In my program, I'm working with folks with transformation. So this isn't just a light program. This is a big deal. I'm going to change how you think about your health and your life kind of program. And I'm super excited to offer it to folks. And if you are at all interested, we should talk. I'm offering 45 minutes free with me chatting to see if and how I can help you. And you can get all the details over at my website, drjkrausend.com. All right. You've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Subscribe, rate, and share info.